know it was the blood. Oh, yes, I know it was the blood. But I know it was the blood.
Sister and my brother, he's everything to me. Oh, he's everything to me. He's everything to me. He's my father, my mother, sister and my brother, he's everything. All one more time together. Oh, yes, he's everything. He's everything to me. Oh, he's everything to me. He's my father, my mother, my sister, and my brother. He's everything to me.
Amen. Amen. We got several testimonies we want to read tonight, things the Lord did in the service this morning. Amen. Sister Faith Neighbor said, I'd like to thank the Lord for his healing touch. This morning while in church, the devil attacked me. I was all of a sudden so weak, shaking like a leaf, and knew that I was having some severe blood sugar drop. A few years ago, I had this happen on a trip. I ended up in emergency and could have died, so I was aware of the seriousness of the situation. I somehow managed to get myself back upstairs and asked the deacons to pray for me. Them and a dear sister joined in prayer. I felt God's healing touch come over me. I just wanted to give my lovely Lord Jesus all the praise, honor, and glory. Amen. God's good, isn't he? Amen. Amen. And Sister Debbie Pierce had a testimony she wanted to share as well. I believe it was last night, she burned her thumb while she was ironing. And remember what we've been preaching on Wednesday nights, how Brother Bram said it was fear that causes the pain. If we don't fear, it wouldn't hurt us. So she said out loud what Brother Branham had said and went on ironing, and it kept stinging. So she stopped and said, Paul shook the serpent off and it didn't hurt him. She kept on ironing, and later she realized it wasn't hurt anymore and it never blistered.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. God's good, isn't he? Sister Anna Pierce, she had a testimony. She said, when Sister Christy gave her testimony about her ear being healed, it dropped faith into my heart for me. My ears feel like they've been stopped up really bad for a while, and I've been believing for my healing because I got prayed for about it months ago. But today after that testimony, faith just really anchored in my heart. I'm so glad I stayed for the second service. Amen. Let's give him a hand clap of praise. Amen. He truly is everything. He's our Father, our Mother, our Healer, our Savior,
Amen.
The finisher of our faith. Amen. He's everything. Amen. I want to continue to remember the requests that we had this morning that I heard. I guess Brother Collins is in the hospital, so we want to remember him in prayer that the Lord will just give him a touch. Amen. How many of you have unspoken prayer requests? Just make it known by uplifted hand. Amen. I know the Lord sees each one. Brother Hoover, would you just come this evening and lead us in a word of prayer over these requests?
Just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening with grateful hearts, Lord. We thank you for the testimonies, Lord, that you're still a prayer answering God, that you're still in the healing business. Lord, that you're still touching people's souls. You're still filling, Lord, with the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we just come tonight to say thank you, Lord, for these testimonies, to give you praise and glory. Lord, that's why we came. We came to lift you up. We came to exalt you. It's not any of us, Lord. It's no one that can point to themselves and say, look what we did. But we just have to point to the cross of Calvary and say, we believe in that finished work. We believe in what happened that day, that Satan was totally defeated in every way, Lord. We give you praise tonight, Lord, for this time of gathering together. We just ask that your Holy Spirit would come, Lord, and rest in this place, Lord, upon each soul, and that you would feed us with your word, Lord. Now we have these requests, Lord, that Brother Nathan has read, Lord, this morning and this evening. Lord, for Brother Collins, we just ask, Lord, that you would move in that situation. Lord, that gallant soldier, Lord, your Jesus, we just ask that you would move into that room where he's at now, and may he feel your sweet presence, Lord, as you send your angel, Lord, to minister to him. We ask for these other requests, Lord. I believe there was one this morning, Lord, with cancer, and Lord, others, Lord, that had a pain, Lord, your Jesus. Heavenly Father, it's not how big the problem is to us. Lord, it may seem huge. It may be a mountain to us, but you promised us in your word, Lord, that if we would believe and ask and doubt not in our hearts, Lord, that we could have what we ask for. And so we ask that you would take this cancer. And Lord, that spirit, Lord, as it was identified this morning in the ministry, Lord, that spirit of cancer would be cast out, Lord. It would have to go from that body. Lord, that spirit that's bringing the pain. Lord, that spirit that's causing a wayward child, Lord, to go away from the cross. Heavenly Father, you're more powerful than any spirit there is. Your Holy Spirit supersedes every spirit that there is. Lord, you rule and reign. And we give you preeminence tonight, Lord, in our worship. We give you preeminence in our life. We give you preeminence in the word tonight. Believe, Lord, your Jesus, that you're here to take care of every need that we have. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. At this time, we have a special from Brother Isaac Weber.
Amen. Well, I've got so much to thank him for, so much to praise him for. You see, he's been so good to me. And when I think of what he's done and where Jesus brought me from, I've got so much to thank him for. Sing with me. Well, I've got so much to thank him for, so much to praise him for. You see, he has been so good to me. Amen. And when I think of what he's done and where Jesus brought me from, I've got so much to thank him for. When I look around and see the good things that he's done for me, I know I'm unworthy of them all. Oh, and his blessing he freely gives. Lord, I owe my whole life to him. I've got so much to thank him for. Amen. Well, I've got so much to thank him for, so much to praise him for. You see, he has been so good to me.
to thank Him for. Sing the last verse. And sometimes while on this way, Lord, I kneel and I stop and say, Lord, thank You for all You've done for me. And one day I'll reach heaven's shore. Oh, please just let me kneel once more. I've got so much to thank Him for. Amen. Well, I've got so much to thank Him for, so much just to praise Him for. You see, He's been so good to me. When I think of what He's done and where Jesus brought me from, to thank Him for. Sing the last verse again. And sometimes while on this way, Lord, I kneel when I stop and say, Lord, thank You for all You've done for me. And one day I'll reach heaven's shore. Oh, please just let me kneel once more, for I've got so much to thank Him for. Praise God. I've got so much to thank Him for, so much just to praise Him for. You see, He's been so good to me. When I think of what He's done and where my Jesus brought me from, I've got so much to thank Him for.
Thank you, Brother Isaac. Sure appreciate that. We sure have lots to thank Him for, don't we? Amen. At this time, we have a special from Sister Julia Phillips. Sure, enjoy our special singing this evening. Amen. Sing this together before Brother Nathan comes.
Oh, Holy Spirit, reign.
Spirit. time together. Oh, Holy Spirit, reign. Oh, yes, Lord, reign down. You're my comforter, my friend. Lord, how I need your touch again. Oh, Holy Spirit, reign. Just rain down. Lord, let your power fall. Let your voice be heard. Come and change our hearts as we stand on your word. Spirit, rain down.
Just keep playing that if you would. Amen. You enjoyed the services so far this weekend. Amen. If you haven't got something yet, I don't know what to tell you except that I hope you get it tonight. Amen. But His presence has sure been here to bless us and help us and give us what we have need of. So, amen. We believe He's here again tonight. Amen. We're still a needy people. We've got needs again tonight. So, amen. Let's just pull on the gift that God has placed in Brother Wes and just come expecting good things. Just anchor it in our heart that, Lord, I need something more from you. I need you to clench that nail for me tonight. Amen. I believe we can walk out of here better than we did when we came in tonight. Amen. Certainly appreciate Brother West and his family and the young people from Johnson City being with us. We've certainly enjoyed their fellowship and the services. And, amen, God's just good. Amen. I just love being around his people. And we're one of them. What can we say? Amen. When you get around somebody that's one of them, you may not know them real well, but there's something that you feel like you've known them forever because you have a seed that was back there in eternity with them. Amen. So certainly good to be gathered together again tonight with believers of like precious faith. And we just want to turn the service over to Brother West for whatever he has on his heart tonight. Amen. I hope he'll just take his liberty with us and whatever the Lord places on his heart. Let's just sing this again one more time before he comes tonight. And amen. This is my desire tonight that he would rain down upon us. Just pour out another blessing upon us. Amen. I love to sit in his presence more than anything in the world. Amen. Take all the money and all the popularity and everything in this world, but just let me sit in his presence for a while. I'll be okay. Amen. Let's sing it together. Oh, Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit, rain, rain down, oh, rain.
You're familiar with the scripture. I'm going to read it again. Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Amen. And then in Revelation 3:21 again I'll read, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Him that overcometh. Even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Let's bow our heads. Father, I couldn't help but think when I was downstairs waiting to come up about how it was before you started using men to bring your word. When the thunder and the lightning came down upon the mountaintop and the people quaked in fear and They trembled, Lord, before your presence. Lord Jesus, that's not the way it is tonight. Not literally, not thunder and lightning and the ground shaking beneath our feet, maybe. But spiritually, it's not changed. Lord, without spiritual eyes and ears to hear, and then, Lord, we have no hope. Help us, Father. Open our hearts to receive your word, to receive you. Lord, without that, there is no hope. A man comes up and he's just a frail thing, just a mortal figure that stands before the people who has to get out of the way enough for them to hear your voice through him. Lord, we come through the foolishness of preaching because there's nothing much more foolish than a mortal man compared to you. Our wisest sayings, Lord, are foolishness compared to you. It's like the babbling of a baby, you said. Lord, please deal with our hearts. Open our hearts. Help us to receive you, Lord. Don't let correction pass over us or roll off our backs like water off of a duck. But help it, Lord, to sink deep within us and to help us, to draw us closer, to make us more obedient, to make us more chaste, to make us more like you, conform to your image. Have mercy on your people tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Again, I'd like to single somebody out real quick, and that's the Hamby family. It was such a blessing to take the young people over and have fellowship at their house last night. They were so welcoming and so kind to us and so generous to open their home to us. And I'd like to thank everybody who provided the food. Brother Stephen and Brother Nathan got the food together for it. And Lord, we just appreciate that so much. And the young people had such a good time. You know, the only real turmoil that occurred was, you know, a man-eating frog. And and of course, you know, the West Virginia teaks that came after us. I thought they were called ticks, but evidently they're called teaks. But we're very grateful to the Hamby family. It was really a lot of fun. And my young people, you know, that were visiting, they were so blessed by that. And they just had such a good time. And I really, really appreciate it. And I appreciate all the kindness from everybody. It was very wonderful. Now, we're going to move on a little bit into the subject of scorn tonight. I'm going to read the definition one more time. Scorn is an open dislike and disrespect of laughing at or ridiculing, often mixed with anger aroused by something unjust, unworthy, or mean. An expression or lack of respect or reverence for something. An object of extreme disdain. A feeling of contempt for someone or something regarded as unworthy or inferior. Contempt or derision. Something contemptible to look down on. Now, the Lord gave me a simple thought. And, you know, looking at it in the rearview mirror, so to speak, it really was a simple thought. I mean, basically, he showed me that the seat of the scornful was the throne of the devil, that the devil is the father of lies. He's the father of scorn. He's the father of all that is evil and wrong and perverted in this world. He's had nothing but ambition to be above God, above God's people, to destroy us, to beat us down, to take God's place. And, you know, it's really kind of a sad joke, because we already know how his end is going to be, and there's nothing he can do about it. I really like to remind him of that. I want to remind him one more time. There is nothing he can do about it. There's not one thing he can do. He is not going to stop us. He's not going to defeat us. We've already won. Those of us who are the sons and daughters of God already are eternal. And we will never end, but he will. So let's just get that straight right off the bat. Get past that part, and I'll just move on for now. You know, I used to think that I felt so ashamed whenever I would think of an angel, especially like a guardian angel or some angel that had been maybe assigned to me. You know, and I'm not going to get into the deep things about what all that's about. Okay, we've been talking about some pretty deep things when it comes to, you know, your guardian angel. I'm going to stay away from that because it's just a little deeper than I care to venture at this stage in my revelation. But I'm just going to keep it simple, okay? I used to be quite ashamed and embarrassed at the thought of my guardian angel. I thought, if there's a holy angel of God, not a fallen demon now, but a holy angel of God that's hanging out around me, watching over me, I must really disappoint that angel quite often. And whenever conviction would strike me and the subject would come up and I put the two together, you put conviction and a guardian angel together and you just think about it and you're like, oh, you feel so embarrassed and so low when you think about it like that. And the devil likes it when you think like that. He loves it when you think like that, because I believe, and this is just my belief, it's not really a conviction, and I'm not trying to get you to believe exactly what I believe, but it's just my way of looking at it. I think the holy angels look at us somewhat like a sports addict looks at their favorite team with the anticipation of them making a score of some kind, a touchdown or a home run or whatever. I think they're sitting there cheering us on. I think they see God being manifested in us, and it just blows them away. The first thing they notice is this person born in sin and shaped in iniquity that speaks lies and is just riddled with sin and just has so much to overcome and everything else. It's just the underdog. We are just born the underdog. Absolutely. Right from the time we come into this filthy world, we are just the underdog, it seems. And I think the angels stand there and they marvel at us. And they look around at this world. They see the same thing we do. They see Satan's Eden. They see everything that he has accomplished in this world. They see it all. And I think they look at it and they go, how in the world is this possible that a holy, mighty God, the holy, mighty God that we serve and that we worship, how is it that I am seeing his life come out of this person? That the devil thought he had them buried so deep that they would never climb out of that grave. And here they are springing forth. Uh-huh. I tell you, he should be embarrassed. Because no matter what he does, no matter how hard he tries, no matter how low down he gets us to act, the Lord can bring us out of it. Amen. The life of the Lord Jesus Christ can spring forth from that. And I think that those angels, I think that they just cheer. And they, you know, the Bible says in 1 Peter 1:12, it says, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us as they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. You know, Peter's talking about, he said the angels really are just sitting there in anticipation. They're just really looking into this. They're just really watching with bated breath, you know. They're sitting there and they're saying, oh, the devil has right here in this church the seat of the scornful. And then here we are on the other side of the stadium watching as they bring this forth, as they fight, as the conviction of the Lord and the word of the Lord comes out and lays the devil bare. We're watching as they tremble under the conviction of the word of the Lord. And we're watching and we're cheering you on. And we're saying, don't give up. Give in to the word. And those angels are just sitting there and they're like, come on, I know you can do it. I've seen evidence that you're a daughter of God. I've seen evidence that you're a son of God. I've seen it. I know it's there. I know you can do it. Amen. I know you can do it. Amen. And they're cheering us on. They're not ashamed of us. They're waiting for our manifestation. Right. They're waiting for the change just like we are. They're waiting for it. They've always been holy. They never fail. The demons are the ones that fail, the ones that followed Lucifer, the ones that fell, that were cast down out of heaven by the power of God because they chose rebellion. And their torment is on its way, and it's getting closer every day. Amen. And because of hate and loathing and jealousy and spite, They want to damage us. They want to hurt us. They want to slow it down. They want to slow down the process. They want to keep somebody who's just boiling in conviction, who needs to come and be prayed for, or who needs to make it right with God. They want to hold them right there where they're at and keep them there and just hold them down.
Amen.
Because their rebellion is always going to be before their eyes as they live in torment until the day they're finally just swallowed up and completely obliterated. They're going to have to live with that rebellion before their eyes all the time. And you know, those demons want to take everybody with them they can, because we know misery loves company. Satan is jealous. He's very jealous of us. He's very jealous of us. He made his boast, and God cast him out of heaven. He saw Adam and Eve, and he saw an opportunity to elevate himself above God because God was in his people. So he saw a way to elevate himself above the people again, even get some of them maybe to worship him. And you know, he just doesn't understand the whole process of how it works. And he does whatever he can to criticize and to harm the work of God.
Right.
And those who sit in the seat of the scornful, those who share it with Satan, you know, and we know that he is a father, because Jesus said so. He said, "You're of your father, the devil." So we know those who participate, who sit in the seat of the scornful, we know that they are not the children of God, but they are the children of the devil. And it's so hard to tell the difference between, you know, the types of criticism there is. You know, you see somebody, and as a minister, you've got to preach the word, you've got to preach the truth, you've got to preach whatever God puts on your heart, regardless of who it might cut. If it was to cut your own wife, your own children, if it was to cut you, most importantly, you've got to preach it anyway. You've got to preach whatever the Lord tells you to preach. And you see, the thing is, I think one of the reasons the Lord said, okay, we're going to use the foolishness of preaching to spread this gospel, is because he knew it was so easy to take shots at. He knew not only would it reveal the sons and daughters of God, but it would reveal the sons and daughters of Satan as well.
Amen.
And that's just what the word does. It divides. It's a sword. And it divides. It cuts us to heal us like a surgeon. But it also divides the sons of Satan from the sons of God. And it's a wonderful thing when the Lord brings his word and it causes division. But it doesn't feel wonderful, does it? Doesn't feel wonderful at all. You see, sometimes God will come down, he'll look you right in the eye, and he'll say, "What you've been doing is wrong. And you need to wake up and you need to shake it off." And it's mercy, but it doesn't feel like mercy because it hurts. It hurts your feelings. It hurts your pride. Of course, we're supposed to cast down evil imagination. We're not supposed to go by our feelings. And we're not supposed to be children of pride. But those are the things that hurts, because that's what God is trying to do. He's trying to separate us from our sin with his word. Now, when the word comes forth, the devil hates it. And so he goes around and he does whatever he can. Whenever a church is thriving and a man of God is in the pulpit and he's preaching the word that will deliver, will set free, will stand against idolatry, will stand against sin of any form, whether it be lust, whether it be, you know, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Greed, it doesn't matter. Whatever it is, if that man of God is standing in this pulpit and he's preaching that with all of his heart and he's standing on the truth, the devil is not going to let just sons and daughters of God come through that door. He's going to inspire the scornful to come and take their place in their seats in the church as well. You're saying, "Brother Wes, who are you talking about?" I have no idea. I hope there's not one soul in here like that. I'm praying there's not. Hoping that this church is new enough to where that's not the case. But there's two kinds of criticism, isn't there? Constructive and destructive criticism. Constructive criticism is given out of love. And if you've got the guts and the maturity to take it when it's given to you, it can help you. But if you're rebellious and stupid and thick-headed, then, you know, you're not going to take constructive criticism. You're going to reject it. You're not going to like it. You're going to criticize it right back. Amen. If the truth is coming forth and you're a son of a liar like the devil, the truth's going to offend you. If the truth is coming forth and you're a daughter of the devil, who's the father of lies, you're not going to like that truth very much. And Satan knows that. So if he can get sons and daughters of the devil in here among you, and I'm not trying to make you paranoid. We're not on a witch hunt. Don't worry. Please don't take it that way. This is not some crusade here. But it's just an identification. I mean, that's what the word does, doesn't it? It places us. It identifies us. It tells us who we are. The sons of God are going to shout for joy when they hear the word of the Lord. They're going to recognize home. That's all it is. It's just like the dinner bell ringing, calling us home. But the sons of the devil are going to get chapped, and they're going to get chafed by that word, and they're not going to like it, and it's going to rub them the wrong way. And when they start producing their criticism, it's going to start sneaking up out of the dark corners and recesses of the assembly. And it's going to manifest itself as deconstructive criticism. And it's going to come out in ways that are absolutely horrible. You know, sometimes gossips will get started in the church and they'll start rumors and they'll start things and stuff like that. Sometimes they're doing it on purpose to cause trouble. Some people just don't even know they're doing it. They're just passing stuff on they've heard. And they can be a son or a daughter of God and just be caught in a snare and not really realize what they're doing. And they're passing on this scorn. They're spreading it like cancer through the church without even realizing it. There's diseases that latches on to healthy cells to travel through the body. And that healthy cell doesn't know that it's destroying the very body that gives it life. So see, we have to be really, really careful, don't we, brother? We have to be really careful about what we let into our ears. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little hands, what you touch. It breaks my heart. It absolutely tears me apart when I see a beautiful work of God that's setting souls free, bringing deliverance, bringing healing, and bringing things like that under attack from Satan, where he's bringing in things that'll harm it, where he's letting things, you know, trying to get things to spring up that'll harm it. You know, criticism and pain from out there in the world, that's one thing. You know, when the world is out there criticizing us and beating us down, we can come here as a refuge and come together as a body. We can get strength from each other, encouragement from each other. We can lift each other up. You can hug a brother's neck and say, "You're going to be all right, brother. You're going to make it. We're going to get through this. Come on, let's pray. You'll be healed. You'll be strengthened. You'll be encouraged. You'll be lifted up." And it's a refuge. It's a place to come to where you can trust your brothers and sisters to pray for you and to help you and to love you. Where you can trust them enough to confess your sins one to another. That's what a church is. That's what a church body should be. That's what the body of Christ should be, right? But Satan's going to make sure he sends some in. We expect it out there in the world. We expect it so much that when we try to sow the seeds of the gospel, sometimes we get tempted because of the scorn, because of the ridicule, because of the condemnation of the world. We get scared to even sow the seeds that God's given us. And you know what I found out? I was talking to a brother, a very dear brother, yesterday, and the Lord inspired me. The Lord showed me something. This brother had been in a situation talking to somebody, and he had told them, you know, an answer to something, but he realized he hadn't given them the full answer. And I'd been thinking, this thought had been in my head, brother. I didn't know what it really was. I was thinking, it kept coming to me over and over again, "Can you cut a seed in half and sow it? Will it work?" And I thought, what's this leading to, Lord? This is weird. You know, what's this got to do with, can you cut a seed and have, you know? And he has called us to be the people of his name, to be the people who carry his name, to represent him, to let his life live through in this world. And this brother, he got convicted. And he went back and he told the man the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Told him exactly what he should have told him to begin with. And it did his heart so good because he was obedient to the word. And that inspired me so much because I got to thinking about that. And I looked it up and I read this little thing. I found this little thing about seeds. Hold on to a second. Let me get a drink. I'm getting real dry. Okay. The seed needed a little water. Seeds are tiny miracles of life, all wrapped up in a hard protective coating. Okay, so a seed has a hard protective coating. That coating has to be hydrated or exposed to water to soften and encourage the seeds to produce the enzymes necessary for germination. So what happens to a seed when it isn't getting the water of the word? First of all, if it's not getting the water of the word, it's not going to germinate, is it? It's not going to happen. You know what brings water, don't you? Rain. Sometimes rain, sometimes lightning and thunder.
Right.
Sometimes storms bring the water, but it's good for us.
Amen.
The seed contains enough food to nourish the plant to be through the germination and sprouting process. After the seeds have sprouted, they need warmth and light to continue to thrive. Now, this is according to the USDA NRCS Plants Database and Related Plant Guides. Okay. It says that a split seed will not live, will not produce. You cannot split a seed because it does not protect that inner part of the seed till it can get to the germination stage and sprout. You can sometimes take one that's already sprouted and split it, but you cannot give somebody a half-truth. And the scorn of the world and the condemnation of the world and the constant judgment in the press and in the workplace. I mean, they've got it now to where a lot of workplaces, they'll say you can't, you know, display any type of paraphernalia that is regarding faith or anything like that. It causes too much trouble. We're not going to have it. You're not going to be able to talk about your faith. You know, no religious displays, you know, and that kind of thing. At some places, they forbid you to even bow your head and pray because you're judging the person next to you who is not of the same faith, and you're to keep your faith to yourself and keep it private because it is offensive. Well, that's the nature of being a Christian. Jesus Christ is always an offense to the devil. And he always tries to stop us. He always tries to stop us. So because we're tempted by this scorn that's out there in the world, you know, hey, could you, you know, I noticed you always wear dresses and you have long hair. What exactly is it? You know, are you one of those folks that goes to the tabernacle over there with that prophet guy? Or are you, you know, what is it you believe? You know, what is it that you think? You know, what's your deal? Well, right then and there, you know. What are you going to tell them? That's a tough spot. We've all just about all of us have been there, haven't we? The pressure comes. Oh, man, you're not even a preacher, are you, Brother Jesse? But somebody wants to know what you believe. Are you going to cut a seed in half and give them half of it? When you're sowing your seeds, are you going to give them half of it? Are you ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? We have to fight it, don't we? Because, you know, our flesh doesn't want to be condemned. We don't want to be pushed out. We want to choose our separation. We don't want it to choose us.
Amen.
You guys can take a deep breath. It's not just about you tonight. Oh, man. Brother Nathan. We all go into a restaurant, we sit down, and they're looking at us and like, okay, what kind of deal are you all? Here's this waitress in her tight jeans and her 10 piercings per ear and her tattoos and her makeup. And she's like, what is it? What are you guys? Where do you come from? What do you believe? I'm looking at a church that invited a woman like that to come sit right with them. Bring her in and show her and tell her who the prophet was and explain it to her. You know, I'm looking at some people who are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm looking at some people who are not ashamed of the messenger he sent to bring us back to the faith of the fathers and away from the lies of Satan and out of the seat of the scornful and into the throne of life. Now, that's what I'm looking at. Now, this is the decision tonight. The decision tonight, not the night before last, but the decision tonight is, are you going to let scorn creep in? Criticism creep in? Death creep in? Is that what you're going to do? Is that what you're going to let happen? Are you going to let that happen? Are you going to let the life be strangled out? Are you going to allow it? Because this man right here is part of a body. He's not the only thing here that's going. You all are not audience members. You're participants. You're in one seat or the other tonight. You're in the seat of the scornful or you're in the throne of God. That's it. That's really the only two. I know there's three kinds of believers. I understand that. Two of them are in the same seat. Now, you know, just think about it. You know, Satan has a strategy. He has all kinds of strategies. You know, one of his things, one of the first things he likes to do is sow seeds of discontent. See, he has his seeds too. His children not only sit in his throne, but they scatter his seeds for him just like the Lord's children scatter theirs. So you need to look in your seed bag every once in a while and say, okay, is there any boll weevils? Is there any tares? Is there any, what am I sowing here? When I sow my seeds, what am I throwing? What am I scattering when I scatter? Am I scattering love, peace, joy, support, kindness, forgiveness? Is that what I'm scattering? Or am I scattering the seeds of scorn, jealousy, non-constructive criticism? What am I sowing? What am I pulling out of my bag? Because that's where there is three kinds. There's some that are really wise, good servants who pray and search themselves out. And they check that seed bag every day before they throw those seeds. And they work hard at it. And they make a mistake every now and then. But for the most part, they sow just the seeds of the Lord. And they're not afraid to give everybody a full bag full if they want it. And then there's some who are just nothing but scorn. Let's see here what I can get started today. Let's see what I can complain about today. Let's see what I can pick on today. Let's see what I can say about this person or that person. Which deacon can I start throwing some trouble at? Which preacher or which pastor or which, what can I do? What can I get to throw the seeds of discontent and scorn? You know, and it's just, who can I pick on today? Who can I criticize today? Who can I knock down and step on and trample today? Who can I hurt? And what's really sad is they're usually just fooled. And I actually think what they're doing is positive. Nobody is shouting amen. And nobody is saying hallelujah. Nobody's jumped up and ran around this church one time tonight. What's going on? What's the matter? Am I telling you the truth? Amen. You're seeing a side of me that nobody's hardly ever seen before. The Lord never used me quite like this before. Are you all afraid to say amen? Let's punch the devil in the face one time tonight, okay? Can we do that? Can you just say amen at the top of your lungs? Come on, just shout with me. Amen. All right, thank you. I just wanted him to know we hadn't fell asleep. Yeah, somebody throw a chair or something. Somebody ought to throw a chair or something. I mean, my goodness, we've got him down on the ground right now, stomping his head in. Now, I know not every one of you sitting there feeling guilty. I mean, there's got to be a few good ones here, right? Somebody needs to say amen. Come on. Goodness gracious, I thought you were going to start crying on me or something. Oh, my goodness. See, Satan has these strategies, and we need to know what they are. And, you know, when I or another preacher gets up here and makes him buck naked right in front of you, you need to cheer a little bit. You need to stomp on him a few times. When one of the sons of God comes up here and puts their foot on his neck, you need to come up here and put your foot on his neck, too. I mean, come on. Goodness gracious, folks. My goodness, I was dying up here because you all weren't with me. You need to get with me. My goodness. Look at the ways. I mean, let's just really hate him for a minute. All right, let's take all the hate that he wants us to have for our brothers and sisters, and let's turn it back on him. Have you ever noticed how that works? You know, what about a gossip? You take a gossip and they're like, what do you think about so-and-so? And you're just sitting there and if you're not careful, you'll be like, you know what? You got a point. And then before you know it, you're going, too, and you're just all over somebody, too. What if we just went, hey, wait a minute, what are you talking about? That man's a son of God. That woman is a daughter of God. My goodness, you know, when I was sick that they brought me a cake. You know, when I was down, they wrote me a card. You know, their cousin's the one that witnessed me. And guess what? He came to the Lord because they told him about the Lord. You mean to tell me you're about to break the chain that saved my soul?
Come on.
I mean, let's get defensive.
Amen.
Let's defend this gospel a little bit. Let's have a righteous pride about us where we can stand up for each other and love each other.
Right.
You know, sometimes when somebody's passing on some gossip, they don't really realize what they're doing. They're caught up in the tide, and they're just kind of being drifted in and out with the tide. Maybe they're not real mature Christian or whatever, and they come to you with some gossip, and you say, I see why you might say something like that, and I understand, but you know what? That's destructive.
Amen.
That's not helping this person.
Right.
Why don't me and you get down on our knees right now and pray for them?
Amen. All right.
And they might be convicted in their heart and go, oh, my goodness, I'm so foolish. Why did I do that? Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. I don't want to be in the seat of the scornful. I don't want to hurt the work of the Lord. I don't want to drive the man of God down or the daughter of God down. I don't want to, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be a part of what, I don't want to be tricked into doing Satan's work for him. Yeah, okay, I'll pray with you. You know, sometimes that's the way. And sometimes if they won't stop, you need to say, Pastor, guess what? I hate to say this, but I've talked to this person and talked to them. I even went to them with a witness, and they're just spreading stuff. And then that pastor, you're getting it now. Then that pastor has got to get up and go to that person and confront them. It's no fun at all, is it, brother? Do you ever want to do that? I hope you haven't even had to, but you probably will if time goes on, because the devil does these things. He does these things.
Yeah. Man.
And you might have to go to some gossip sometime, and you might have to say, you need to shut your big lying mouth. Or I'm going to take you before the church and turn you over to the devil. Because I know one witness came to you, then two witnesses came to you, and here we all are, three. And guess what? There's going to be a problem if you don't stop that lying tongue of yours. And if you don't quit trying to destroy the work of God. You know that rebellion in the Bible is considered witchcraft? And jealousy leads people to rebellion. Jealousy, spite, and all these things that the Holy Ghost is supposed to shine a light on and drive back, like the shadows. And we really have to self-examine. You say, Brother West, you're being a little bit tough. You know, who are you talking to? I'm talking to me. Okay, you're here listening, but I'm talking to me too. I have to be careful. We all have to be careful because our human nature, because the water got muddied from way back at the beginning of this stream, our human nature lends itself to get along with the devil if we're not careful. And we have to watch it. We have to check up.
Amen.
We have to do it. We have to check up. Now, see, Satan, he also has these other plans. He has these things that he likes to do. That will, Satan's a bowler. He loves to bowl. Okay? Because a bowler, what they do is they don't roll the ball down that alley and try to knock down one pin, do they?
Amen.
That's not the point. The point is to hit that head pin, that one in the front, at the top of the pyramid, Let's see if we can't damage a little perfect love, okay, and knock down the rest of the pins with it. He will roll that ball of destruction down that alley, right down the center aisle of the church, and try to knock down everybody he can with the one ball. So what he'll do is he'll find some pervert, or he'll bring some pervert in to molest some child or do something horrible like that. It might be going on inside of a family. It might be something horrible going on. And it's kept hush up. And it spreads down through the generations. One after another is affected. One after another is affected. Because the devil's never drug out into the light and exposed for what he is. And it can travel down through generations and destroy person after person after person. And these things are the kind of things that the devil likes to keep in the shadows. And there's one thing that will destroy them. And that's people standing up and telling the truth. If somebody just stands up and tells the truth, and you say, well, Brother West, we don't have anything like that going. Well, I don't think you do, and I pray you don't, and I pray you never will. But I guarantee you there's people here who've been hurt by sexual sin. I guarantee you, I don't know of a family in existence that the devil hasn't come at and got to them one way or another that way. And if you want to, I mean, you can trace it all the way back to Eve, and you can say, hey, yeah, I see how it travels. Brother, I see how it can go from one generation to the next because it's hit all of us. It's hit every one of us. He likes those sins that have a cascading effect. He likes to get people with influence and get them to use that influence the wrong way. And it's horrible when he does it because he knows that he can throw that one ball and bowl over maybe dozens, maybe hundreds, maybe thousands over the course of time with one strike. And then he can go get busy somewhere else while that damage is just cascading down through time. He's horrible. He hates us. We have to self-examine and find whatever part of him's trying to, you know, we have to weed this garden all the time. How many of y'all have ever had a garden? Flower garden or vegetable garden or any kind of a garden? You ever have one? Okay. What happens if you don't go there every day and check on it? Weeds, right? What do weeds do? They choke it out, right? That's why if you have a man of God that preaches the truth and comes in and weeds the garden every time he gets a chance, don't get discouraged with it. Promote it. Brag on it. Pat him on the back. Thank him for it. Thank him for it. If he got the guts to confront sin and beat it down, tell him he's doing a good job. Let him know. Let him know. See, the only problem is, though, here's the deal. A body has to stand together. There was a sister who came up today, the second part of the service, when the testimonies were going on. Who was that? Talked about scratching the itch. The body has to work together. The body has to work together because when sin is confronted, it likes to throw a fit. You know, when the Word of God, I've seen this happen, when the Word of God forces a demon to the surface where it can be dealt with, and see, I've experienced this, so I know what I'm talking about because it was the preaching of the Word that delivered me. But when it forces that thing to the surface where it can be dealt with, it'll kick and scream a little bit. It'll cause some trouble if it can. And the whole body has to unite to stand against it. Amen. Because confrontation causes division every time. Either conviction and repentance come about, or anger and scorn and rebellion follow. I can't believe he said that to me. Can you believe he said that to me? I've been paying tithes here for however many years, and I have done this, and I have done that, and I have done, and I. Amen. Scorn. Amen. Rebellion. Same thing as witchcraft. Right. I said I wasn't on a witch hunt, but that don't mean there ain't witches. It doesn't. It doesn't mean it. You know what a heathen is? You may know what a heathen is. Heathen comes from the root word heath, which means outside. Those of the outside, or those who are outside of the kingdom. The devil's a heathen. He likes us to think that he's too sophisticated to be in the to be actually called a heathen, but the devil himself is a heathen. All of his demons are heathens, and all of his children are heathens, and they're outside of the kingdom. And they want to not only want to kill the occupants of the kingdom, but they want to take it over, and they just can't do it. We've established that today. I think we should all be gloriously happy to know that Satan cannot have us, he cannot beat us, and we have already won. But in our daily walk, he can trip us and make us bloody our nose. And that's what we're trying to avoid, is the pitfalls and the trips. Once you're born again, once you have the Holy Ghost, once you've fought your way through, and you've denied your old master, and you've had those chains broken by the King of Glory, and you're free, finally, then you still have to watch for the trip cords, don't you? You still have to watch for the sneak attacks. You still have to, you know, just like, if they couldn't get Superman, they'd always go after Lois Lane. You know, because he was Superman's girlfriend. The devil does the same thing. He's going after your kids. You stand and hold the standard, he's going after your kids. You get up and get saved and give your heart to the Lord, he's going to go after your best friends. He's going to try to get at you any way he can get at you. You find a church, God gives you a revelation that that man right there is your pastor. Then the next thing he's going to try to do is cause discord between you and him. He's going to try to drive a wedge between you and that man, because part of that man's a human, and you're going to find human frailty there. You're going to have, you know, you poke at him long enough, you'll find out he has a soft underbelly. All of us turtles do. Amen. But here's the thing. Scorn creeps in so many ways. He'll try to get into your marriage. You know, this afternoon I was joking at the table because I thought my wife could hear me. And I thought that she would join in and joke back. But she actually couldn't hear me at all. So I was sitting there and it seemed like I was making fun of her almost. But I wasn't. I was just joking around. And we were like in a lighthearted mood. And I had part of the pressure of that burden of the word off of me. And we were kidding her. I realized she couldn't hear me joking around. So I quit. You know, and I was like, well, that's no fun. She ain't poking back. So then... You put a Libra and a Scorpio together, it's kind of a weird mix sometimes. She keeps me balanced, though, that's for sure. I don't know what I'd do without her. She's precious to me. She really is. I don't know what I'd do without that woman. She came from right here. She came from right here. And I know that. I know the Lord just put us together right out of eternity. She's the other half. One time, she's a strong woman. She's very strong. She's smart. She's way smarter than me. A whole lot prettier. Like I said, she's the balance. She was real sick one time and real frail, and I looked at her, and I saw that she needed me. And I'd never really thought of her as needing me that much. She seemed so strong. And that's when the Lord showed me that she was my other half. Now, we're just like you all. Don't think, oh, I wish I had a wonderful, you know, marriage like Brother Wes and Sister Lisa. We're human too. We're human too. We're no better than you all. I promise. We're no better. We, you know, we have to fight the devil too, but we love each other fiercely, and the devil will never trump that. But what if scorn got into our marriage? Let's look at that definition again. Open dislike and disrespect of, laughing at or ridiculing, often mixed with anger, aroused by something unjust, unworthy, or mean. An expression of lack of respect or reverence for something. An object of extreme disdain, a feeling of contempt for someone, or something regarded as unworthy or inferior. Contempt or disdain, something contemptible to look down on. The position of scorn is always up above looking down. Always up above looking down. Now, I'm the head of my house. God put me there. So am I supposed to be up here above her looking down? No. Being the head of your house, of course, is a responsibility God gives us. I know you all know that. You've got the right kind of teaching here. I don't have to tell you that. But if I started to look down on her, if I start to have contempt for her, look how scorn can come in. how long do you think our marriage would last if she put herself up above me and had contempt for me and had no respect for me and just looked down on me? How long do you think our marriage would last? I heard of a woman one time, a pastor took him in for counseling, and he said, is there anything this man does right? Can you say anything good about him? And he thought, well, she'd start making a list, and it would continually grow, and she'd begin to realize he was not a bad husband after all. And she said, no, there is not one stinking thing about him that's any good. And he said, not one thing? I mean, not one. You can't think of one thing. No, I can't think. And the pastor knew the man, and he knew there was some good things. There had to be. I mean, at least he worked for a living, and he came to church. You know, he wasn't a drunk. You know, he was sitting there thinking, okay, he's not a drunk. He doesn't beat her. And he's sitting there, he's thinking, and he's like, surely, but she couldn't see it. Because she had nothing but contempt and scorn in her heart for this man. And he worked with him and worked with him and worked with him. Just a few months later, she ran off with another man. You see the damage that can come about if we let things get out of hand. We let things roll too far down the road. We let it just take off on its own. Something like scorn can have a life of its own. You know, if we say we believe the word, we say we're the children of God and we believe the word, and yet sometimes, and again, I got three fingers pointing back at myself here. Sometimes we forget to repent, to go before God and say, Lord, shine your light on me. Show me any dark, creepy thing that's hanging around or eating at my soul. Lord, please reveal it to me. I guarantee you, if you do that with an honest heart and you seek the Lord, I guarantee you he'll shine a light on it.
Amen.
I guarantee you he'll show you.
Amen.
You know, you had to postpone. You postponed the communion. You know, that is such a sacred thing, and you all, I'm sure, taught that too. But do you know how many people go and take communion and they don't even do a checkup? Or maybe that's the only time they do a checkup. You know, I've heard of people, I don't know of anybody, you know, I'm not picking on anybody in particular because I don't know of anybody in particular, but I've heard of people who skipped communion because they felt like they weren't, you know, ready and they were scared to go take it. How'd they get in that shape? They got in that shape because they didn't take the time to pray and to say, Lord, you know, I'm sorry. Show me what's wrong with me. Show me, you know, I know I've done this and this, and this is right in the front of my brain. I know I shouldn't be doing this. But Lord, what else? What else is there? You know, you start talking to God like that. You start reading your Bible a little bit more. I mean, you get into a good church where the Spirit's moving. That's the easiest place to get lazy. It'll happen. It'll creep up on you. You can get lazy so fast. Oh, man. I mean, I'm telling you from experience, I know you can get lazy real quick. You can start depending on all the other saints to pray. You know, you can start forgetting to, you know, you're living a good life. You're not being bad. You're not a drunk. You're not out running around. You're not really doing anything bad, but you just get kind of lax, just get kind of sleepy. The spell of Laodicea starts kind of trying to creep in, and you find, you know, and you say, well, Brother Wes, you know, should I pray this much a day and read my Bible this much a day? No. No, the formula is going to be a little different for every believer. You know, different people at different levels doing different things. You seek a relationship with the Lord Jesus. You know, if you loved me, I mean really loved me, I won't say it that way. That would sound negative. if you love the Lord with the newness and freshness of the relationship like you do, you know, when you first meet somebody and fall in love, if you love somebody like that, you can't stand to be away from them. You want to be around them. You want to talk to them.
Right.
You know, you watch these teenagers that fall in love, they're texting each other constantly. They're running after each other everywhere. You can't hardly keep them apart. If you're you know, refereeing a courtship, you've really got a job on your hands. You know, just because they're just dying to be together all the time, and they're always talking to each other, and, you know, you can't stand to be apart. It's because there's a relationship there. There's a love there.
Right.
And we have to honestly look at ourselves and say, is my love what it ought to be? Is it where it was 6 months ago? Is it where it was a year ago? You know? Do I talk to God or do I talk about Him? Even preachers, I want to hear a real loud amen here in a minute. Even preachers sometimes get in the habit of talking about God more than talking to Him. We're human. We have to check up too. I'm not going to put all the weight on you. So a heathen is somebody outside of the gate, somebody that's not part of the kingdom. You know, we joke around, call our kids heathens sometimes. We say, you little heathen, you better, you know, do this, you better do that. Look at that room, you little heathen. You know, yeah. We don't think about it, but let's be careful. Let's be careful what we say. But, you know, I don't want to look at myself and find out that I have walked outside of the boundary of the kingdom and not even noticed. All right. And now I'm out in the enemy's territory and I'm a sitting duck. I don't, you know, I'm supposed to be an eagle, not a duck. And you know, we can do it real easy if we're not checking up. Now, I'm going to close on this. I think we've gone far enough in scorn. I think if you all aren't starting to understand scorn, if you're not able to check up by now, then you really, really need to just run to the altar now, not even wait until we start playing the music. Because I think the Lord has really revealed it. I think He's pulled the cover off the devil. I believe the devil's laying down here naked right now, quivering right in front of you. Because I think a lot of his power has been stripped away from people this weekend. In Isaiah it says, "And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book." And I would like to ask a question. And I'd like to get a witness or two. If you would just raise your hand. Were you deaf and now you can hear? Amen. And the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. Any more witnesses here? Besides me. The meek also shall increase in their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. Yes. This day the scripture is fulfilled. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
For the terrible one is brought to naught, and the scorner is consumed, and all that watch for iniquity are cut off. The Lord Jesus is on the edge of his seat. We know nothing else really needs to happen. You know, Brother Branham talked about a revival in Japan. Less than 1% of the people in Japan are professing Christians, and most of them are leftover traditional Catholics from when the bombs were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. The Catholics went in. Now, less than 1% of the country professes to be Christians. But now the message has hit the shores of Japan, and there are believers there. And that's the only thing I know of that lacked happening. That's the only thing I could find. And I searched hard, brother. I don't think we're waiting on anything else. Yeah, revival only takes one person. And I know of a handful of believers over there. And they're baptizing a little bit here and a little bit there. They're receiving the word a little bit here and a little bit there. And we don't know what's going on over there. But it's hit the east again. It's made full circle. You can look it up. You can look up the quotes if you want to. But your prophet talked about that. We're right there. I don't want to hear that knock on the door, so to speak, of the rapture and realize that I'm not in it. Because I was sitting around chewing on somebody's hide behind their back. I would hate to be in the seat of the scornful when the Lord came. I might be dozed off. Sleepy, not get up and leave when I'm supposed to. The thought, uh, The thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men, it says in Proverbs. An abomination. Well, that's strong, isn't it? That's more than just a sin. That's strong. Let's stand. Let's just everybody bow your head, please. Every eye closed. Just look within yourself. Forget about everybody else. Don't pitchfork this. I've seen people pitchfork things before and just totally miss it, but don't pitchfork this. Is your conversation edifying? Is it building up? Are you laying blocks in the kingdom of heaven? Or are you trying to tear them down for the kingdom of hell? When you look deep down inside of yourself, are you building up the people you love? Are you building up the servants of God? Are you saying things out of love and praying for people? Or are you driving them down and trying to beat them up? And you don't even really know why. That's a tricky thing, you know. The devil he gives you pleasure in such weird things, but the joy of the rebel flees quickly in hell. I wrote that in the line of a song here recently. It flees far from the occupant of hell, the joy of rebellion, the joy of that's found in sin. It just flees. And it's gone. It's like a vapor. It's gone. Just like your life. It's gone. So take this moment. And I'm going to turn it over to Brother Nathan after we pray. And just take this moment to self-examine. Let's keep our heads bowed and let's go to the Lord. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the way that you move and the way you bring things out. Lord, I pray that this has been of some help to somebody. I myself am so in love with the people here, and they are so kind to me. And I've seen nothing but kindness and love among this group. But I know that if I don't warn them about what Satan's going to try to inject here, and what you've shown me that he'll try to inject, then I've not done my job, and I've not loved them properly. And I've not preserved the dignity of my brother or helped to defend the pulpit and the preaching of the word the way I should. So I had to be obedient to you, even though I feel like I'm among friends who are totally innocent of anything that I've talked about tonight. But Lord, they're searching their hearts, and I ask you to help them. And if there's anything like that that's trying to sprout or take root, Lord, I ask you to help them to confront it with bravery tonight, to call it what it is, and to root it out. Throw it into the sun where the roots of scorn and bitterness and hatred can just dry up and shrivel and die. Just root it out of their heart, Lord God. Help them. You're the author of life. Help them to deny the author of death and sin and to embrace you. Lord, I ask you to renew us all, to lift us all up in our spirits, to give us a fresh feeling, Lord. Lord, we all need it, from the greatest to the least. And I being the least, Lord, I can say I will always take a fresh filling of your spirit. I love you. I love your presence. I love it when you come among us, Lord. I love to see the healings. I love to see the testimonies. I love to see the deliverance, Lord God. I love it when you train us day by day and help us to be better and closer to you. Lord, I thank you for everything you've done. I pray another blessing upon this church, Lord, and the work that's being done here. And I pray for strength and unity among the believers here, Lord, that they can further the gospel as it reaches out through the world. As Brother Nathan and the saints in this church are trying to spread the word of this glorious gospel and tell people about the prophet of this last age so that they can go back to the faith of the fathers, Lord, I ask that you stop the devil and his plans as he tries to come against them and slow down this glorious work. I know that there's not a soul in this place that would want to stand and face you one day and for you to only look down on them and say, "Why? Why did you hinder my servants? Why did you hinder the spread of the gospel? Why did you attempt to rebel against me?"
Nobody would ever want to stand before you and hear those words. No person, Lord, that willingly came here tonight would ever have to hear that. Lord, if they self-examine and look into their own heart and see if anything's there. I thank you, Lord, for inspiring this tonight. And I thank you for what you said, because I know that I can trust that your word will not return void. Lord, you're just so wonderful. I don't have words. I just thank you for everything you've done. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Brother Nathan, I'll turn it over to you.
Amen. You appreciate the word of the Lord tonight. Amen. He's mindful of us. He knows just what we need. You know, I was thinking when he was preaching there, usually we have a tendency, if we have a complaint, to do like those in the Army, you know, when they were there in Valley Forge. It wasn't the guy in the trenches they was upset at. It was General Washington they was mad at. Why has he got us out here? Why are we staying out here? Why are we freezing ourselves to death? Many times, if we're not careful, we find ourselves in the seat of the scornful. Usually it's to somebody in a leadership position. Oh, why did Brother Furman have to sing those two more songs? I was ready to go. Maybe because you didn't see the three people over here in the back that was getting blessed that he was lingering for. Maybe because he was following the leading of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we get so focused, if we're not careful, on the seat of the scornful that we fail to realize everything else that's going on around us. We'll find the one part of the service that we didn't like, or the one person that said something that rubbed us the wrong way, and that's what we'll go home and talk about instead of the miracles and the deliverance and the healings and what God's doing. We'll find that one thing to just pick at and pick at and pick at. Well, Brother Layton got on us again about being late for Sunday school. You know he was talking about us, right? Yeah, you and the five other families that was late. Oh, my, when are the trustees going to get this done? I've been asking them to get it done. And then you talk about those things in front of your children, and you destroy your confidence in those men that God's got there to try to be a help to them. Oh, my, why would the Sunday school teacher have the children doing this? Why would Brother Stephen have these kids? They're on their summer break, and he's got them studying the church age book. And my goodness, because he loves them, because he cares about them. Because sometimes you're too lazy to teach him, so he's going to step up and do a little bit more. Don't get in the seat of the scornful. Amen. God's trying to move. The Holy Spirit is moving. Amen. Don't let Satan flip the thing on you and get you to looking at all the what you think is negative. And sometimes if you just get raised up in a, you know, they've got these drones now that they can fly over the top of things and take a picture, and sometimes you're taking a picture down here and you don't get the whole thing, but you take a drone and fly it way up in there and let it look down, you see, oh, there's this and there's that over there, and begin to see the whole picture. And many times you're sitting there thinking about, I can't wait to get outside and tell so-and-so what happened at school or what happened at work, or I can't wait to get down to Dairy Queen and get me a blizzard. And maybe somebody over here down at the altar screaming and crying and seeking God for something. Don't get in the sea of the scornful. Amen. God's trying to do things. Amen. You love the Lord tonight? Amen. He's good to us. I've certainly enjoyed these meetings. Certainly been encouraged myself. And amen. I hope you have too. I believe we all have. I told Brother West when we got back to church tonight, I said, I'm still not back to myself from this morning. Just the presence of the Lord. It was so wonderful, and feeling his presence here again tonight. Amen. I've appreciated the fellowship and the get-togethers and youth Bible studies and the youth service, and every bit of it's just been wonderful. We're blessed. We're truly blessed to feel the presence of the Lord like we have. Amen. Let's sing this together tonight. We kind of had a worship service this morning and sang a lot of these type of songs, you know, the just worshiping the Lord, but I had this on my heart all weekend, and I just feel led to sing it now. Key of D. D. Amen. We won't keep you all night unless you want to stay all night. Oh, where do I go when there's nobody else to turn to? Who do I turn to when nobody wants to listen? Who do I lean on when there's no foundation stable?
go to the rock, I know he's able. I go to the rock. Oh, I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected. I run to the mountain and the mountain stands by me. When the earth all around is sinking sand, on Christ that solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. Oh, where do I hide till my storms have all passed over? Who do I run to when the winds of sorrow threaten? Is there a refuge in these times of tribulation? When my soul needs consolation, I go to the rock. Oh, I go to the rock of my salvation, to the stone that the builders rejected, unto the mountain, and the mountain stands by me. When the earth all around is sinking sand, on Christ that solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. Oh, where do I go when there's nobody else to turn to? Who do I turn to when nobody wants to listen? Who do I lean on when there's no foundation stable? I go to the rock, I know he's able. I go to the rock. Oh, I go to the rock of my salvation, to the stone that the builders rejected. Rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. Oh, let's sing it again. I go to the rock of my salvation, to the stone that the builders rejected. Run into the mountain and the mountain stands by me. Oh, when the earth all around is sinking sand, on Christ that solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. Amen. Oh, the move is on, my Lord. The move is on. Oh, the move is on, my Lord. The move is on. Oh, I can hear in the mulberry tree, and I know, I know, I know the move is on. Oh, won't you move on, brother? Oh, move on, sister. This is the moving day. Oh, won't you move a little closer where the streams are flowing? Turn around, shake somebody's hand tonight.
is on. Oh, the move is on, my Lord. The move is on. Oh, I can hear the rustling in the mulberry trees. And I know the move is on. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Oh, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Oh, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Oh, let's magnify the Lord. Oh, I know He is worthy to be praised. Oh, let's magnify the Lord, for He is worthy to be praised. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Oh, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Oh, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Oh, blessed be the rock of my salvation.
Amen. Let's sing this tonight. Oh, I love Him better every day. Oh, I love Him better every day. Oh, close by His side I will abide. Oh, I love Him better. Is that how you feel about it? Let's sing it again. I love Him better every day. Oh, I love Him better every day. Oh, close by His side I will abide. Oh, I love Him better every day. Let's sing it this way tonight. Oh, I love Him better every day. Oh, I love Him better every day. Oh, close by His S-I-D-E-I-B-I-D-E. I love Him better every day. Let's sing it that way again. Oh, I love Him better every day. Oh, I love Him better every day. Oh, close by His S-I-D-E. I will A-B-I-D-E. I love Him better every day. Tonight, let's sing it together as we go. Oh, yeah.
yes, I love him better every day. Oh, I love him better every day. Close by his side, I will abide. I love him better every day. Oh, I love him better every day. Oh, I love him better every day. Close by his side, I will abide. I love him better every day. We're together again, just praising the Lord. We're together again in one accord. Oh, something good is about to happen. Something good is in store. We're together again. That old-time Holy Spirit, and the devil won't go near it. That's the reason people fear it. It's good enough for me. Just give me that old-time religion. Old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Old-time religion. Old-time religion, Lord, it's good enough for me. It's so good I want no other, for it makes me love my brother, and it brings things from undercover. Lord, it's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Old-time religion, give me that old-time religion. Lord, it's good enough for me. It will make you stop your lying. It will save you when you're dying. It will start the devil flying. Oh, it's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Oh, it will save you from the scornful. It will cheer you when you're mournful. It will give you another spirit full. It's good enough for me. Oh, give me that old-time religion. Old-time religion, give me that old-time religion. Lord, it's good enough for me. It makes me love everybody. Love everybody, it makes me love everybody. Oh, it's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion.